This episode of East Meets West is brought to you by Sparespace. They're a new sponsor.
Need a little extra room in the web? Go to Sparespace. We got that cubby for you.
All right, here we go. This episode of East Meets West is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the code EAST. Welcome to East Meets West, episode 207. I am Tom Merritt. Jolly Roger Chang is off on vacation this week, as I have done to him for a couple of the past 3 weeks. So joining me, never replacing, but filling in, is the one and only star of Scam School and NSFW show, Brian Brushwood. Mr. Howdy.
You cannot believe how unfathomably honored and excited I am that you would allow me to attempt to hold the seat warm for Robert Chang.
I could think of no one better to do it. You are so like Roger in so many ways. You're a producer, not talent. You are Asian. You're from the West.
I think I'm none of these are right. By the way, you know what occurred to me that your audience probably doesn't know that I'm making a joke when I call him Robert Chang. I probably sound like some jerk who doesn't even know the name of the host.
What's that guy you had on? He didn't even know Roger. What was Roger? No, Brian. Brian is the is a fantastic magician, talented comedian, and host. And may I say, you have a pretty darn good mind on you there.
I disclaim all of those things. They are all, this is heresy, it's lies, and I will not stand for it, sir.
Thank you. That is exactly the response we were looking for.
So this was different from any other invitation I got, because you said, hey, you want to do East Meets West? And I'm like, well, first of all, as long as we can call it West Meets Southwest Texas. And sure. And then second of all, I was like, well, what do I need to do to prep? And you're like, nothing, Brian. Absolutely nothing.
We have never, ever done more than the barest amount of prep, which usually, here's how it goes, Brian, some of the listeners know this already, usually involves, if there is any prep, me and Roger going, oh, what do you want to talk about? Like, oh, we could talk about Doctor Who that was on. Okay. Oh, and I saw this story about China. Did you see that story about China? Oh, yeah, I saw that. We can talk about that. We start the show and talk about none of those things.
Well, that's good, because I'm glad we talked about like currency manipulation by Iran. We talked about the ash cloud. And so none of those are going to be what we actually talk about.
Ash cloud is back.
Dude,
they shut down some more airports. Yeah,
I'm convinced this is all like a massive publicity stunt for Lost. The whole like smoke monster angle that they're playing. Yeah.
I finally got caught up on.
I was like 4 weeks behind. It was agonizing.
My wife, who produces Scam School that Brian hosts, was like, you should talk about Lost, but make sure he's caught up.
I am caught up, so we can't talk about Lost.
I don't know if everyone in the chat room is caught up.
I don't know if they are, but I'll tell you this much. I got warned. I told all my friends on the Weird Things podcast that I was going to go on a bender and get caught up on the last 4 episodes of Lost. And as a warning, Andrew Main was like, just realize when you get to the latest episode, at the end, mentally add, and then they found $20. To make it better. Like, he was not a fan of that last episode. He thought it was pointless and meandering. I thought it was pretty good, though.
Well, the episode with the deaths, is that the one he's talking about?
Of Jacob and his brother.
Oh, that's the most recent one. I liked it, but yes, I could see where people who are like desperate to get on with it, because let's be honest, after a few times this year, I felt like, all right, yeah, I understand you're telling a good story, but this is the final season. We're within 10 episodes of the end. Let's get on with it. This did not really get on with it. We got a lot of questions answered, right?
Well, that's just it, man. The answers are coming fast and furious. I mean, it's just, they're just like, and that's handled, and this is handled. You're clearly watching somebody in their final days putting their affairs in order before they go to sleep eternally.
Yeah, I think I was talking to somebody about it, and we hit the nail on the head. The problem is that they aren't answering questions. They're answering questions right and left. What is the island? Who is the smoke monster? How did the statue get there? You know, these things, like you say, are coming fast and furious, but they're not resolving any storylines until 2 episodes ago, when they resolved 2 storylines in a huge way.
Oh, yeah. we got to be careful about our spoiler talk here, but there certainly was some resolutions. And in fact, I don't know if I should get into predicting or whatever, but they were so final in those resolutions that it makes me believe that the whole series ends in the Sideways universe. I believe that that's the happy ending for everything.
Well, they've said a lot of things on their podcast. They've said, it was all a dream. Right. It's not going to be, you know, none of it ever happened. It was all imaginary. They have said when someone is dead on the island, they are dead.
That's not going to be satisfying for the viewers. That's why I say this is an escape hatch. The whole Sideways universe genesis is an opportunity for them to say, and they all lived in the farm on 40 acres. They had lots of room to run around and be free. I mean, that's the happy ending that I mean, at this point I'm pulling for.
The other weird thing that they've said though, is that the Sideways universe is in fact not an alternate universe. And that in the end, you will only have one universe.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's going to be the one that will be the only universe. So we can all have a happy feeling at the end. That's what I think.
So somehow they'll bring all the things that happened on the island and resolve them with the Sideways universe. But I have no idea how you can do that without straying into Rambaldi territory, as I call it.
Here's what happens, right? Here's how it ends. They do, like, because you've got the whole setup where they're trying to, you know, people are kind of waking up to the fact that this isn't really how the world was supposed to be. This is kind of a dream or whatever. Something happens in the original universe that merges the two, where you get like remember the movie Frequency with Dennis Quaid, where they had this kind of like, I kind of remember that other, but that feels like a dream now because I'm here now. You have that kind of thing where we perceive that all the surviving people from the one universe, the original universe, end up in the Sideways happy universe where everybody is awesome and all the bad guys get what they have coming to them.
Now, I would love to believe that, and it is logically consistent with everything they've said, and I don't think it's a bad prediction, but I'm only going to give it a 36% chance.
And 36? The reason, you're not going to give me the extra 1%? No, 37? 36. That's all you're giving me.
Go 36.5, but that's as far as I'm willing to go.
All right, good. That's all.
And the reason for that is some of the other things they've said are people won't be happy after the final episode. Not everyone's going to have a happy ending and not everyone will live. In fact, they've said this constantly, which is the dog is the only one guaranteed to survive.
Oh, that's hilarious. The dog and the droids. That's how it works. You can have droids that survive if they get dogs. That's it.
Yeah, they will not kill the dog. They promise. He will live all the way through.
I have not caught up on my Breaking Bads. Do you watch Breaking Bad?
I don't. No. Tell me about it.
Did you watch The Shield with Michael Chiklis?
I watched it on and off. I never watched it all the way through.
So it didn't really get its hooks into you. Like, one of the things I loved most about The Shield was that these agonizing decisions get made and stuff goes wrong and you see the way people try to pick up the pieces and move forward. And I loved The Shield. It's one of the best shows, one of the best TV watching experiences I've ever had. And Breaking Bad gives me that same fix. And only I've got four more episodes to catch up on.
I you know what? It is on the list. And this will probably shock you even more with The Wire for things that I want to go.
I haven't watched The Wire.
You haven't? Okay. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Everyone hates me. They're like, you haven't watched The Wire? Are you crazy? But it's like, and that's weird because all my friends have that same high pitched voice. And I'm like, why are you talking that way? And they're like, are you making fun of the way I talk?
But they only talk about that when they're talking about The Wire, I've noticed.
That's the other weird thing. When I mentioned their high-pitched voice. That's the crazy part.
Only two instances in which they have that high-pitched voice. Otherwise, they're always talking like this.
Until they talk about The Wire. Chat room is very clearly saying that The Wire is better than The Shield, but I love The Shield. And so I think The Wire was more cerebral, and it takes more episodes to really get into the full story than The Shield did.
The Wire, I have been told two things. One is you are the luckiest man on earth because you get to watch The Wire. Because I have already watched it and I am so sad that I can no longer watch it because it is over. And number two is watch the first season, or at least the first few episodes, with captioning on.
Because you missed a bunch.
Well, the first time somebody told me that, I was like, oh, so what if the Baltimore, you know, urban accent? I've watched Trainspotting without captions and understood what they were talking about. I'm good at this. But after I talked to a few other people, they're like, it's not that. It's not about being understandable and understanding what they're saying. It's that it moves so fast.
That's how I felt about, and you're going to, this doesn't seem to fit at all, but that's how I felt about the Flight of the Conchords show on HBO because their accents are just off enough that I was missing too much. And especially the lyrics to the song were so clever, but I never caught them all because of audio.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about doing Doctor Who that way because this new doctor, Matt Smith, I don't know if you watch Doctor Who at all.
Oh yeah. I watched Doctor Who back in 1982 when it was PBS, and I've caught bits and pieces of the reboot on the BBC, but I haven't seen the new doctor. Is any good?
He's good, but I didn't think it was possible, but he actually talks faster than David Tennant, the previous one. So
wow.
I've caught myself a couple times rewinding, like, okay, what does he say? What does he say? Oh, okay, now I get it. So I'm like, well, maybe I should turn the captioning on there too and just, you know, be able to catch all of his fast-paced patter. But it's good. You should check out, I think the reboot it's not better than the original run of Doctor Who. It's just modern.
It's more self-aware. I kind of like the little moments where it gives a wink and be like, hey, yeah, we know it's a bit silly. Don't worry about it. It's a psychic piece of paper. Go on.
Yeah, right.
On. Just exactly. Have fun.
They are definitely more self-aware, and they're more concerned with the humor of it. Which they never really were. There was no humor to it before. It took itself very seriously.
You know what it is? It feels like it's expanded to fill the space left empty with the death of Douglas Adams. It feels like they're trying to be Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
They've got a little bit of that. They're heirs to that school. Douglas Adams would probably hate the idea of him being a school, but yeah. They're heir to that tradition, let's
what
say.
About, and I'm going to go in a different direction. Do you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I didn't even know that was a show.
No, my God. Really? On
FX? What is Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Why do I not know about this?
It's on FX, and you can see, you used to be able to watch the entire series on Hulu, but it was so freaking popular on Hulu that they took it down, and now you can only see like five random episodes. The pilot was made for like $300, and it's just a bunch of jackasses running a bar in Philadelphia, and their ideas are all idiotic, and everything goes terribly wrong. And like after the first season, and it's just classic old school sitcom. There's no laugh track or anything, but the characters are so compelling that after the first season, Danny DeVito was like a fan, and he was just like, "I love this show. I should be on this show." And he had his agent say, "Hey, get me on this show." And so they wrote him in second season. All of a sudden, Danny DeVito shows up and he's part of this cast of characters. And oh my God, it's so, so hilarious. It's very, very funny.
You know, that's a really good Danny DeVito. How does he talk when you tell him you haven't seen The Wire?
He's all like, "What do you mean you haven't seen The Wire? You want to bang?"
Even Danny DeVito.
He does the one and then the other. Yeah, if you can pick which episode you're going to see, I don't know which ones are on Hulu, but check out like The Nightman Cometh, the live musical that they did. I'm not even going to try. My brother forced me to watch like five episodes straight last Christmas. He just kept turning it on, even though they were all episodes he'd already seen, and just made me watch it. And highly, highly recommend Always Sunny in Philadelphia for its own unique flavor.
All right. Well, I got 2 weeks to do nothing, so maybe I'll try to get caught up on that somehow.
Oh, are you optimistic about the Game of Thrones series?
Oh yeah, actually, I think the casting is brilliant.
Yeah,
because we tore through all of those books when we read them on Sword and Laser, and we're now in the crowd of people like, please do not die before you finish the series, George R. R. Martin.
Oh my God, he's certainly trying to. We write about pub crawls and his pizzas. I'm like, don't eat that. You don't need that. The cholesterol. You got to stay alive to finish the series.
Let me get you a salad, sir, and a pen. I think it looks very promising. I hope I'm not going to get let down, but I think they have nailed, in my opinion, the right actors for all of those pieces. So hopefully the
Tyrion
director
is awesome. Sean Bean as Ned, awesome.
Who is the guy from Lord of the Rings? That's Now I can't remember any names because I, you know, my brain stopped working.
Elijah Wood, Ian McKellen.
No, Boromir. He played Boromir.
Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
Jay Leno.
That's the one. The big white guy with the brown hair. Samuel Jackson. That's him. You know what? You, Brian, sound like you might want to put together a fan site for Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
You know what? I would. But the problem is I get these ideas, these harebrained schemes to like make fan sites. But the problem is, it's like, even if I did have the time to hard code the HTML, it's like, I don't have time for that. You know what?
You know what? There is a very fast and easy way to publish a high quality website or blog. They're sponsoring this podcast, but I'd recommend them anyway. Squarespace.com.
Really? Tell me about this. How does this work? You probably have to give a credit card. You have to give a credit card first.
No credit card required. It's an easy to use UI. And you don't have to know CSS. You can be a total beginner. Or if you learn CSS, if you're like, screw that, I'm going to learn CSS. I'm going to be an expert. You can use that too. And they've got design templates. You can put in all these photo galleries of all your favorite characters. You can do Google Maps of Philadelphia. They've got cloud architecture, so you don't have to worry when it becomes hugely popular of it getting overwhelmed. Why don't you try it for free? Go to squarespace.com. You don't need a credit card. Just try it out. If you decide to purchase it, you get 10% off.
Yeah, but it's probably like some kind of restricted thing where it's like it's 10% off, but only for like the first month or so. And then they totally hit you with the fees.
Even if you're George R. R. Martin and eating pizza and doing pub crawls, it's 10% off the life.
Lifetime?
That's better because he's not going to live as long. But even if you're not George R. R. Martin, they'll still give you 10% off.
Even if you're Abe Bogota, Abe Bogota, you're
obviously not going to die ever. They will still give you 10% off for the life. So check it out. Use the offer code EAST. Unless you're watching one of Brian's shows that Squarespace sponsors, then you can use their tags.
Definitely use East.
But use East right now because we're smaller.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Thanks for picking that up. That was brilliant.
Oh, no. Look, you've got the ESP. So, you know, I heard the voice of my mind. Brian, it's me in the back channel of your mind. Segue and go.
It is time. Did you watch Next Generation? I'm assuming you did.
Oh yeah. Love it.
Okay. Roger was on with Aileen Gaspar from Toy Break last week, and they were talking a little bit about Star Trek The Next Generation. And Grant is a Grant put a posting up at subreddit.com/EMW and asked, was anyone else kind of perplexed by Roger's dislike of TNG? He's slammed TNG before from time to time on East Meets West, but last week he really let go. Grant is a Grant says, I subscribe to the growing the beard theory of the show's quality and will freely admit the first two seasons are largely crap. However, seasons 3 to 7 are, barring the occasional misstep and overuse of the odd plot element, extremely solid. Roger said something like, it's almost like a hierarchy. Grant is a Grant says, you mean like a military command structure like every other Star Trek show ever? Anyway, he goes on to say several of those criticisms could apply to all the Treks and arguably the original series the worst, since decision-making power was concentrated in Kirk Spock and less oriented on the whole command staff talking things out. With that being said, I can understand the comments about TNG being too focused on trippy phenomena, the philosophical conundrums, and talk in general, as well as being a bit heavy-handed with 80s to 90s political correctness, but I think some of those things are what makes it feel more quintessentially Star Trek than the very series that followed it, even as awesome as DS9 was.
Well, let me tell you, since you have me sitting in, Roger's seat, I suppose I should respond on his behalf. Let me state unequivocally that I was clearly under the influence of drugs and or alcohol when I made those comments. It's a dark time I'm not particularly thrilled about. However, your letter has made me see the light. And as a result, I'll be going back to watch all of the episodes, starting with episode 1 immediately.
Is that a promise, proxy for Roger Chang?
That's the truth, the dead honest truth, or my name isn't Roger Chang.
Very good. We will hold you to that. That and the Odokta battle that is yet looming in East Meets West future.
Oh, are you gonna do East Meets Far East Meets Far West, or what's
Odokta was
there?
On and Roger and him got in a little tussle over Hot Tub Time Machine versus The Hangover.
Oh, but I Roger seen Hot had Tub not. Machine. It looked good.
I thought I've seen both of them, and they're both hilarious in totally different ways. Hot Tub Time Machine is incredibly stupid humor. You do not, you know, we spent a whole episode dissecting that. Hangover is stupid humor, but kind of at a higher brow of stupid somehow.
I got to tell you that I honestly think Hot Tub Time Machine will be a better experience for me because I will not have had every single joke in the entire movie told to me through the trailers going into it.
No, like probably
the
not.
The only surprise in all of the Hangover was the Asian guy jumping out of the trunk. That was the only surprise. Everything else was tipped in the trailer.
And there you go, listeners. You no longer need to be surprised by that either.
Sorry. We passed the statute of limitations.
I think so. That, right? I got in trouble for talking on Buzz Out Loud at the very beginning of the show earlier this week about the end of Iron Man. And I don't mean the end of the Iron Man movie. I mean the little bonus footage that came after the credits.
Oh, the extra, you're talking about, shall we ruin that now too?
Well, no, I'm not going to do it again because I took so much flack from people. All I said was what you saw and
listen, and, these and urges you're like, having.
You've totally spoiled the very end, that bonus footage. I'm like, no, it was spoiled already because it looked kind of dumb, but all right.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Look, you need to hammer down on these urges. You need to bring the thunder and show some foresight and quit doing that. That's all I got.
You're right. It could be Nurse.
By the way, sorry. I thought it looked cheesy too, and it actually has me doubtful on if it's possible to pull off an Avengers movie. I think the tea in the room, as it were, is so unbelievable and has never been. It's so over the top that it makes this comic book movie look silly. That's what I'm upset that it does.
It makes this comic book. You can't take this comic book movie seriously.
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I think that sounds ridiculous,
but it's true. We all know comic book fans are very serious about their comic books.
Yes.
So you can joke all you want, like, hey, well, they're just comic books. You shouldn't be taking them seriously to begin with. But, you know, if you're going to do something, you should do it right.
You know what? It'd be funny if they made it to where, like, the whole movie, you're convinced that Thor was like a crazy man off the streets. Like, he only thought he was a god. Because what's funny is my crazy comic book brain, it's like, oh, yeah, no. A design, a suit of armor that lets you fly around and shoot, you know, repulsor rays. Of course. Yeah. Oh, no. Radiation. You know, you mutate and you get green and you beat stuff up. But a god from Asgard, you came down the Rainbow Bridge. Buddy, you're crazy. Sure. That's sure, too guy. Far.
Is that hammer made of cardboard? Please.
No. It's Mjolnir is made of unobtainium. That's how he flies.
Somebody in the chat, Steven 3X, is like, yeah, it's not like sports or gaming or old cars. Those are serious.
I love it when everyone holds up a mirror to our own passions and desires. Like, we are nothing.
Well, I get arguments on both sides of the whole sports thing, right? Like people in the geek world a lot of times hate sports. And and I'm like, look, there is nothing. Sports is just reality TV. If you like The Hills, you can't criticize people for liking sports. It's just, you know, and you can like not like either one of them right now and feel really self-righteous. But I bet you there's something out there that you like that is reality based. And that's all sports is.
The appeal to sports is that it's the only form of entertainment where the bad guys have a good chance of winning. And in fact, you have to deal with the bad guys winning over and over and over again. And
27 rings in baseball.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so, by the way, I find that my enthusiasm for sports directly correlates to the proximity of my friends who are into sports. Now, having said all that, like, I went to my first ever ice hockey game a couple weeks ago.
Did you go to an ice bats game?
What's that?
Did you go to an ice bats game?
No. We went and saw the Kings at the playoff in LA.
Oh, NHL. All right.
It was a spectacle, man. It's like I could care less about LA or their teams or how the rules of ice hockey works. But it's just like, you know, when it was time for the 5 minutes hate, I'm all like, you know, B, you know, freaking out. And I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah. You get sucked in because it's drama. And that's no different than any comic book.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying sports are all fake. They're not all wrestling or anything, but there's drama that's trumped up. There's drama that is, you know, hyped up, that is bigger than it really is. It's like, oh, this guy from, you know, Southern California is throwing a small ball at this guy from the Dominican Republic and he might hit it with a stick. Well, there's really not much drama there, but you create these stories around these players and around these teams and around these fans and their history, and suddenly there's tons of drama.
I never was a big fan of Frazier, but there was one line that always stuck with me. David Hyde Pierce walks into the room and Frazier says, did you listen to so-and-so's sports program? And he says, oh, yes. Couldn't wait to find out who put what ball through which apparatus. And it's like, that's always been kind of how I felt about sports.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, the tools of the sport, the balls and the equipment, are the MacGuffin, like in a Hitchcock movie.
Yes,
they're not important.
They're the Maltese Falcon.
Yeah, absolutely. They are just the vehicle around which this grand story is told. And if you're not in on the story, it all looks really dumb.
Yes. Well, exactly. And what's interesting, it's also like a fractal because it's infinitely recursive, and you can keep finding smaller and smaller, more interesting dramas as you decide, like, I like this team and I like the story of this team and I like the players on this team. And then you find out about their stories and what's important to them. And as a result, you have entire networks, you know, ESPN, you know, the Ocho is detailing on somebody's decision to, you know, reclassify citizenships for the Olympics or whatever. I mean, crazy.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Did you ever read The Walking Dead, the comic book?
You know what? I just started. I just started downloading it on the Comixology app on the iPad. It's great.
Oh my God. Thank goodness that it actually is on the iPad, because that's one thing I've been wanting to tell people to go get it, but the only place I've known to do it is like the first 60 issues are available on, I don't know if that number is right, are available in one giant compendium on Amazon, and it's just amazing. Just amazing, dude.
And I hear that's turning into I'm just in the second issue, and I'm already hooked, but I heard it's going to be turned into a TV show.
AMC, apparently, yeah. they bought the option, and they're moving forward, and I got to tell you, again, another reason to watch and enjoy Breaking Bad and Mad Men. Look, those people at AMC, they know how to tell a story, and they know how to make it about the people in their situation, not about the special effects, which is exactly how this story needs to be told. The Walking Dead, the least interesting characters in all of The Walking Dead are the zombies. It's just these incredible machinations and jockeying for power and these terrible, you know, what happens. I don't want to do any spoilers, but it's just like, oh my God, you feel for these guys.
This episode of East Meets West is brought to you by AMC. No, I can say that now. No.
Yeah, you can.
I could always say that. There was never any pressure. Yeah, I made this Twitter posting. I guess I need to finally address it. Right before I went on, I was like, finally, I'm free to answer all the burning questions and tell you what I really think.
Well, yeah, by the way, since I assume everybody listening is a big Tomas Morit fan, what's been the biggest surprise to you since quitting? Like, now that it's actually, I notice you have a perpetual 5 o'clock shadow. That's one of them. You stop shaving.
Oh yeah. I guess I have.
See, you didn't even notice. You didn't even notice.
You know what's surprising to me? The most surprising thing to me is that I haven't had a minute to sit down. I'm like, oh, I want to go watch that top five they made again. That was really fun. And I want to review some of the comments on the blog. But I went out for drinks at Kate O'Brien's, the unofficial CNET bar, right afterwards. Bunch of people came out. It was really fun. Went home, went to sleep, got up early the next morning, headed out, started looking for places to live in San Rafael so that I can be closer to Petaluma. Went and traded in my old clunky car for a newer used car so that I would, you know, have a more reliable form of transportation to get up there to Petaluma and all this stuff. Then this morning, I got to get up and do some catch up on some finances and help my sister-in-law move. So I haven't caught a break. Being out of work is really hard, apparently.
You know what's funny is I'm going through the same thing this past month. Like, I think out of the last 30 days, I've been home. Today is my second day home in a month. And all the rest of the time is spent with the busiest stuff that, like, it's not none of it is work or money. It's like I did a week at the Magic Castle, and then I had an opportunity to go to New York to meet some people. And it's the weirdest thing. It's like, not working sure is a lot of freaking work.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, I'm scheduling, you know, the weirdest thing that's happened to me so far. Here's a good answer, I think, to what you're asking. I'm trying to decide a good time to record Current Geek, the daily episodes, the short episodes that Scott Johnson and I do on the Current Geek podcast at currentgeek.com. Yes. And he's like, well, can you do it at 2:30? And I was like, well, no, I'm helping my sister-in-law movies. I was like, well, but after East Meets West, I'm free. He's like, oh, well, you know, my son has a birthday party tonight, so this evening doesn't work for me. How's 10 a.m. tomorrow? And I have this immediate gut reaction that I used to have all the time when people ask me about 10 a.m. It's like, no, I can never do anything before 11:30 a.m.
And I was like, 10 a.m. I don't know that I'll be awake by then.
This is the weirdest thing, but yes, I'm free at 10 a.m.
That's awesome.
Because I don't remember when we moved Buzz Out Loud from 12 until 10:30, but it was sometime when Veronica was still there. So I think, you know, around somewhere in the 2006. So for 4 years or at least 3 years, you know, my day has involved getting up, taking the dogs downstairs, looking at stories, banging on the lineup, checking emails, prepping for the show, doing the show. And then my day starts at 11:30.
What time would you have to get up and start cracking on that? Because daily was huge, man. You guys, that was high quality output every single day. And I guess you're going to start doing it again with TNT, which, by the way, great job on the acronym. Nice.
Oh, thanks. You didn't get
the Today in Tech, but you did the TNT is a pretty good acronym.
Yeah, so, Today in Tech, we talked about it, but no.
So what time would you get up to really, you know, because when you've got that deadline and you know that in exactly 3 hours, you're going to have to get on and sound like an expert on something. How early would you get started?
I would get up at 6:30.
Oh my God.
And take the dogs down and maybe go to the gym real quick. And by 7:30, I was cranking away on my RSS feeds until about 8:30, 8:45. And then I'd hop in the car and drive in.
Oh, holy cow. So is that, did you like that schedule? Are you going to move it back at all for the Twit gig?
Well, Today in Tech will be the new show starting June 1st. And that'll be at 2:30 p.m. Pacific. No.
Today in Tech. It's not Today in Tech.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got me.
Today in Tech is the one that we all wish it was.
Tech News Today. Somebody in the chat room said Today in Tech is CNET comes up as the first page if you search Today in Tech on Google.
You should call it Today in Tech, but just inexplicably abbreviate it TNT.
Tech News Today will be at 2:30 Pacific. So, okay. Yeah. My day will start considerably later. Although I'm still doing a Monday morning radio thing for KFWB in LA at 8:30 a.m.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I do it every Monday on the LA radio station. So, and I was like, they're a CBS station. They're going to ditch me. But they're like, no, we love having you on. We'll still have you on. Just don't mention Leo because he's on the competition.
Was that awkward? I mean, I guess you could talk about it now that all ties are officially severed. How did that conversation go? If you feel comfortable sharing, I know everyone's interested.
Which conversation?
The one with CNET. I mean, I assume that Leo was this cutesy kind of delicate dance you did. Of, I kind of like you. I kind of like you. You want to dance? I don't know. Do you want to dance? And, but how did it go to CNET?
Yeah, no, this is interesting because I haven't got a chance to really tell this story in full and it's way too long to tell, but it all started, it's all been very friendly and it wasn't one conversation. It all started when I wanted to pitch Sword and Laser to an independent party. It's not the kind of show that CNET would pick up. And CNET said, okay, well, you have to fill out this conflict of interest form because of Sarbanes-Oxley rules, and then we have to have HR sign off on it and the CEO, and it was this huge, long, difficult process. And then I wanted to start selling ads on Forecast and East Meets West. And they're like, okay, well, you have to fill out the form again. And it went a little faster that time, but it was still a pain. And so I finally said, look, I'm going to do more and more of these kinds of shows. And there's shows that CNET really wouldn't do well on CNET. They're not CNET kinds of shows. So let's figure something out. So we were talking about making me part-time, like 30 hours a week, and so that I would be a freelancer and be free to pursue all of these independents. But
now, this is before you even had anything worked out with Leo. This is early on. This is your seeds of dissent being sowed.
And so I'm like, not really dissent, but I'm just like, you know, this is a way to work it out. But then they had some legal problems with making me freelance. So they were going to have to make me an actual part-time employee, which meant I'd lose my benefits, but I wouldn't get a, you know, a daily rate. So I wasn't really super pleased with that, but it would have worked. Meantime, along this, at about the same time, Leo had a conversation where he's like, hey, come work for me. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go full time there, but I'd do a show. And that's how Current Geek Weekly came around. I was like, I want to do this show. And then I had to go through the whole paperwork process. And they're like, yeah, even if you're a part-time employee, you're going to have to go through this process every time. Well, that's not going to work. And so then I talked to Leo more seriously. He's like, I want you to do all these shows on Twit. I want all of this stuff. It works for me. And so then I flipped it and I was like, well, look, what if I start doing most of my shows for Twit, but I still do a few shows for CNET? And they're like, great, we love that. And so that's the way it was until about 2-3 weeks ago, when they said, you know what, we looked it over and the finances and the way we'd have to pay and the limited time and we can't make you contractor. You know, we can't keep you on right now with any of the shows. We're sorry. And I understand that. It's hard to get into, but there's a lot of legal loopholes and trickeries and things that they have to consider that make it a lot cleaner to just say, you know what, you're free to do whatever you want. And the door isn't shut. I'm still talking to the editor in chief, Scott Ard, about possibly coming back and doing some kind of thing.
This is CNET. This isn't Twit saying this.
No. This is CNET. So
okay. For some reason, I thought this is what Leo was telling you. It was like that.
Leo is still saying like, hey, you're free to do whatever you want outside of Twit, but we want you to do as much as possible on Twit as you can. So that's sort of the not so short version of how it all went down. And you know, my boss came over and he was actually, he had the chart of seating from CNET because they're going to be moving seats around. And he was like right in front of me, like, you know, with people like, okay, you're going to be sitting here. Is that okay? Is that going to work? Like, it was totally normal. This was not a bad breakup in any way. And if they want me to do something, I will be willing to do it, as you know, as long as it doesn't conflict time or otherwise. And I'm glad that they kept Buzz Out Loud going. I really am. I mean, I want that show to continue as a legacy. And I think they chose the right person internally in Rafe Needleman to keep hosting.
So Rafe is hosting it now and Molly's still on it as well, right?
Yeah, Molly and Rafe will be the co-anchors. And then the Brian Tongs and Donald Bells and Brian Cooley's will still be in the rotation as well.
That's cool. And maybe even...
They have
even
clones of all of those people now. So when I say their names plural, I actually mean there are more than one.
They got backup copies of the clone tank ready to rock at any given time. So what projects can you talk about now that are coming up on Twit? You've got obviously TNT and Geek something. What was it?
Current Geek.
Yes,
Current Geek.
Because you don't want to be old geek. Old geek is the old busted. Current Geek is the new hotness.
I do a short version of Current Geek 3 times a week on the Frog Pants Network with Scott Johnson. And that is his show, and I co-host it. And it's like we talk about one geeky story for like 10 minutes or so, and then we have an email with someone with their own personal geeky story, and then we're out. So it's very bite-sized if you want something like that. And then on Twit, on Fridays, right now it's 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, but we may move that up a little earlier. We do an hour-long show where we kind of chat more leisurely about geeky stories. And these are non-tech stories. These are just, you know, the kinds of things you see on Wired and Boing Boing and Sci-Fi Wire and places like that. So those are already happening. East meets West. And then Tech News Today will happen at 2:30 Pacific starting June 1st. I'm talking to a few different people. I've got about 4 different conversations going at once right now about different weekly shows that I want to bring onto the network. But Leo has said, look, let's focus on TNT. Whatever else you want to do is great. But, you know, TNT is where the focus is to begin with.
So have you found, I got to imagine that you have a very loyal following that's going to happily come over from Buzz Out Loud, but I would imagine there's also some naysayers and detractors out there. What would you say the blend is as far as people who are enthusiastic about seeing something new versus like, I'd like everything old and the same?
Yeah, I've gotten those reactions, but most of them have said, but I'll still check out what you do. No, very few people... I don't think anyone has said, I will never watch what you do again. Maybe I'm wrong about that. There may have been one person, said that.
You didn't read them.
There was one person who put on my blog a comment of like, you're making a horrible mistake and please don't do this. Let me help you. Let me help you before you make a horrible mistake and ruin your future. And I was like, wow, what? Thanks, man.
You're like, thanks, mom. That was uncalled for in such a public forum, but okay.
You know what? You know, everybody's just trying to help in their own way. So one of the things I'm looking forward to at TWiT is covering conferences. So we're going to try to do a lot more live coverage of conferences. I'm definitely going to Dragon Con with you.
In fact, I'm really curious how that's going to go down. And I guess it's still up in the air whether or not I'm covering E3. It sounds like I don't know if Leo just wants to do packages, or apparently they can't do live because of some agreement with G4 live streaming content.
Yeah. And then a Comic-Con in July. I think we're going to try to cover that. I know Leo wants to go up to Detroit for a Maker Faire in July. There's a few others that I'm forgetting about too. But yeah.
Well, I mean, Leo's no dummy. I mean, that coverage of South by Southwest was groundbreaking and awesome. He genuinely brought the experience of actually being at all the hippest parties at South by Southwest to the masses. And me, as a geek who can't make as many of these live events as I'd like, if I could, while I'm working in my cubicle or whatever, just have on this window to where I wish I was at all times, hopefully it'll be like the biggest thing that ever happened to TWiT.
Yeah, I am looking forward to trying out all this stuff and having some experimentation and working with Leo again. I worked with him at Tech TV back in the day, so it's going to be fun putting a small slice of the band back together, although not as web producer anymore, which is what I was back then. So it's a little different. But I'll probably grow a beard for a couple of weeks, but it'll be gone.
wear a monkey on your back. You're going to do your Coco impression.
Yeah, I'll say some really, you know, muted, passive aggressive things about Rafe Needleman in a 60 Minutes interview. And you know.
I actually didn't see that interview. Was that good?
No, it wasn't good at all.
It was clearly a bad call for him. He's up there. It sounded to me from everything I read, like he's like, I'm fine. They just ruined everything. I'm fine.
Yeah, now, exactly. He was like, I'm legally prohibited from saying that they're a bunch of jerks, but some people in this world are jerks, but it's not them.
Wow. Totally takes him down a peg. That's a bummer.
You know, yeah, it was too bad because it, I don't think it ruined Conan. Some people afterwards are like, Conan's done now. I don't think so at all. But it just showed that you can't really have an honest, hard-hitting conversation when you're legally prevented from answering like half the questions honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. How long does the show usually go?
It usually goes a half hour, so about 14 minutes over.
Awesome. All right. Which just is cut fine. Everything I asked. Cut all of my parts. It'll all be just you and we'll be perfect.
No. This has been great. And I haven't done East Meets West in a couple of weeks. So I'm kind of enjoying being back in the groove. And I haven't done a one-on-one show with you, I don't think, ever.
No. And you know, what's funny is like halfway through, we're sitting here having this conversation. I was like, wow, Tom and I seem to click. Wonder if he's got room in his schedule for another show, maybe with Brian and Tom talking about, I don't know, you name it.
The SFW show.
Welcome to SFW.
Totally safe for work. Psych.
I don't know, some other...
No, thanks for it so much, because I know you're doing the marathon here because you just finished This Week in Tech and now you're hanging around doing East Meets West. So
this is the first time I felt like a professional broadcaster of any type, and I cannot thank you enough for having me on. Anytime you want me on and I'm physically able to do it, I'm there. Done.
Fantastic, man. And everyone, absolutely go check out schwood.com. That is the portal into the world of Brian Brushwood, which you should explore because you will find wonders beyond imagining.
That's right. I'm trying to mentally imagine something that would be awesome to pimp, but it's like whatever it is I'm imagining is not nearly as awesome as what's actually there.
Because they're beyond imagining. You can't imagine.
That's true. You just broke my face. What's going on?
I finally big-timed you. So actually, do you have any special events coming up in the next month or two? Because I know you do, you go out on the road quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, I just got done with the the first time in 15 years that I've spent a full month out from the out away from my family and my house. Like in all of April, I spent only 12 hours in my own house. Amazing opportunities. Like I said, I performed at the Magic Castle. I was on stage with Marilyn Manson. Like I'm hanging out backstage, and to my right is Rudy Kobe, who had 2 network specials on Fox. To my left is Marilyn Manson dressed in a ridiculous Fu Manchu mustache. And I was thinking, this is a cool moment. Remember this. And unfortunately, none of it made me any money. And it's like, weirdly, it was one of my lowest money-making months ever. But meanwhile, amazing time on the road. So I've got nothing to promote, and I couldn't be happier. I'm just hanging out.
But watch NSFW show, please, every week on the Twit Network. What time is it on?
At 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. And we may be rejiggering that, but you can follow me at Schwood, at S-H-W-O-O-D is the best way to make stuff.
If NSFW show does well, that helps me because I'm going to be working at Twit. And you should watch Scam School at revision3.com/scamschool, because if Scam School does well, that helps my wife. And therefore,
see, we're all becoming this Robert A. Heinlein like meta family where we're all inbred, and you know, we got mothers who are children, who are daughters, who are married to sisters, and it's all confusing now.
Why does that podcast have only one tooth?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Brian Brushwood. Jolly Roger Chang. I started calling him that this episode. It's his Twitter ID, Jolly Roger. Roger Chang will be back next week. It'll be the reunion of me and Roger. We haven't seen each other in weeks. So check that out. Subrilliant.com/EMW is where you can go to post your comments about this or any episode of East Meets West. Thanks to the Twit Network for letting us do East Meets West on here. Thanks to Jammer Beef for producing. Thanks to Leo for letting us on the network. And thanks to you for watching. We'll see you next time.